Right column on the top.
Vayakha Moshe. The Torah writes that Moshe gathered together all of the Jewish people to speak to them. And it says from the Chachamim, it's brought down in Rashi. L'macharas Yom HaKippurim, that this happened the day after Yom Kippur. Kishayorad min Hahor, when Moshe came down from the mountain and he had received Mechila from Hashem for the Tehu Egel, and they brought down then the second Luchos. This is after the second Ten Commandments were brought down, right after Yom Kippur. Kamosha Kosev Rashi is all, as Rashi writes, Ki b'nei Yisroel hayu mis'avlim, the Jewish people had been mourning because of the Tehu Egel, and what they lost as a result of it, they were in a state of mourning. The Atah Shochazru b'tshuva, and now that they have returned in a state of teshuva, Nesan lahem HaKadosh Baruch Hu barachamo, Mitzvas HaMishkan l'samchan. Being that they have returned in teshuva, Hashem then gave them, from His great compassion, the mitzvah of giving to the Mishkan in order to bring them joy. So he says here that Ki hanadava the simcha gedola heviyu, when they brought all of their gold and silver and fabrics from the Mishkan, they brought it in a great state of simcha. The Isa kol hamitzvah shekiblu aleihem the simcha adayin osim the simcha. And it says in the Gemara that all of the mitzvahs that B'nai Yisrael accepted upon themselves in a state of simcha, in joy, they still to this day do them with simcha. And the mitzvah that's brought as an example is Bris Mila. They were Makabla Bris, the simcha, that's one of the ones, and they still do it with simcha. What's an interesting thing he says here that, what did Hashem do for B'nai Yisrael when they were mourning? He said, you have to bring them out of this state. And how do you do that? Through giving. A person's able to come out of avelus by giving to somebody else. I think one of the ideas here is that at a certain point, avelus, which is mourning, can become a self-centered process. A person's not careful, mourning can become very self-centered and grief. So what do you do to bring somebody out of that? They did their tshuva, now they had to get out. Hashem said, okay, I need to bring them out. I'll give them the mitzvah of giving. Because giving takes a person out of themselves, and they're directed toward another purpose, and especially the giving for the Mishkan, which was a great mitzvah, of course, that brought about a simcha in B'nai Yisrael.
So they did this, the simcha. He commanded them to do it, the simcha.
Right.
He commanded them to do it, and they did it, the simcha.
Right. They were mekabel of the simcha, and they did it, the simcha. And I'm pointing out that perhaps Hashem's giving them the mitzvah afterward was to bring them out of avelus through giving. And then they were able to do this specifically.
I mean, it could be that just
so this is your topic, right?
I'm an expert. I mean, it could be that just that he had something to do with them, though. That could have, you know, just...
Sure. Sure, I'm just bringing out one possible dimension, right? There are any number of possibilities. V'lochein achar she'ischilu mechodosh mekabel ol Torah u'mitzvos b'simcha nishar kavua l'olam. Therefore, once they began anew to be mekabel the yoke, the responsibility of Torah and mitzvos in a state of simcha, that then remained fixed forever. And so that second time in B'nai Yisrael were Mekabel Torah, the second Luchos, the second commandment that Hashem brought down, that Moshe brought down, was after they were involved in the giving toward the Mishkan. They were in a state of simcha. They had Mechila from Hashem, it was Yom Kippur. And they were Mekabel Torah again, the Luchos Shnios, they accepted in simcha. And as a result of that, that Kabbalah Satorah, the Simcha, remains and endures forever. The Itoche Lomar, it's possible to say, Sha'al Yidei Shehis Nadhu B'Simcha, being that they gave to the Mishkan in joy, Zapu Lidoros Litain Lahem Bimei Simcha Besukos, they were Zocha then for the days of Sukkos, which followed immediately after, and Sukkos is the Man Simchasenu, the time of our joy. So it's possible to say, says that there's a connection there. When is the Man Simchasenu? It's right after they were Makabel the Torah B'Simcha, which is the second Luchos on Yom Kippur. We were Zocha to the Simcha of Sukkos. Achar Yom HaKippurin, after Yom Kippur, Shebnei Yisrael Heima Ba'alei Teshuvah, where all Bnei Yisrael then have achieved Teshuvah, Nitan Lohem Simcha Ba'avodah Simei HaChag, it was then given to us the joy through the Avodah of Sukkos, K'mo Shekarsu V'ezis Ridnu L'kafta Lohem U'samachta Mifnei Hashem. It says specifically about Sukkos, you shall be joyous before God. Because the concept of the work that went into the Mishkan and the Sukkah is the same idea. Now this, of course, has a very direct parallel. The Sukkah is like a miniature sanctuary. We're building a makom where Hashem Shechina resides. The Sukkah is also a temporary structure. The Mishkan was also constantly moving around in the Midwar. And this structure of the Mishkan, which was built then, is parallel to the Sukkah which we have after Yom Kippur. The Iker HaKol Ayideh HaSimcha Shebaal Teshuvah Sameach Behiz Karvusler Lev Yisborah Zotha LaHashraz HaShchina. Says the essence of it all is the Simcha in this process, that one who does Teshuvah rejoices in their closeness to God. That brings about the merit for the residing of the Shechina of that human being. That's interesting, because the process of tshuva, I think it's beginning. The process of tshuva is one that sometimes we relate with the more somber emotional state. But he's saying here really that simcha is a requirement in tshuva. That if one has a feeling of remorse at the beginning for or regret for what we've done, that has its place, but eventually, and I would say perhaps sooner than later, that needs to be put aside for the joy of experiencing closeness to Hashem. But that simcha really is the essence of teshuva.
I think you said it when you said that the issue is the simchas try to pull you out of yourself. The longer you stay, even if you're doing teshuva, the longer you stay in and reflecting on yourself and things you've done wrong, the sooner you're in so deep.
There's a danger there.
Yeah.
Especially for our time, when we were very susceptible to those feelings of becoming very involved in our retreat. We have to be very careful with that. Hilly knows last time today. I think the first time in history. Must be that there's something about Torah Shabbat head.
What's the difference between the Kabbal Satori, the second Luchos, and the Kabbal Satori Purim, the Kimu Kiblu, other than the fact there's no Hashrosh Hashkina at Purim, there's no Gilui.
There's the Hashrosh Hashkina, but it's not Gilui Hashkina in that sense. Well, the Kimu the Kiblu on Purim refers to Torah Shabbat head.
But it would seem that they would have to have been Makabal Torah Shabbat at this time as well.
They were Makabal, but it wasn't through will as much as it was through force. It's because it says in Matan Torah that Kofa Aleihem Har Kigigis, that Hashem held the mountain over them.
Right.
So the Gemara says, Mikan Lodo Rabba Leoraisa. So we have an excuse for the rest of history. We can always say to Hashem, hey, you made it.
Do we say that by the second Luchos also?
No, so it could be that with the second Luchos, according to what he says here, and it definitely needs, I think it needs some thought. If he's saying that they were Makabal of the Simcha, and does that mean only Torah Shavisad? Or does it mean Torah Shavalteh also? And if it does mean Torah Shavalteh as well, maybe even though it was the simcha, there was still something about it that was compelling, as opposed to through Ratzon as it was on Purim. And that's an area that needs a lot of thought. I don't know offhand. Don't know.
When did they start building the mishkan? Right after
when they started building it.
When would they command it to bring?
It's early.
There's some more focus about that when that actually occurred. So I don't know. It was Parshas Truma, but the question is when Truma happened. It happened after Kisisa or before Kisisa. So I don't know when they started building it.
He came down
after Yom Kippur.
After Yom Kippur,
right? Sometime after Yom Kippur,
they were given the commandment to bring. When he came down with the second Luchos, then they were given the commandment to gather in.
If Truma, which was a couple of parshas ago, came after this whole Maisa, then that would be true.
Oh, but it's possible it came before this Maisa?
I think that there is an opinion on
that. But he was up there for his second 40 days?
Actually, the third.
This is the third?
Right. Because he went up the first time to be Makabla, the first Torah. Then he went up the second time to be Mispalef of Bnei Yisrael.
And came down.
Right. And then he went up the third time, and he brought down the Lupa.
So it was the first time that the Egel was after the first time.
Right.
The Hanukkah bias of the Mishkan took place on Hanukkah.
No, it took place in Nisan.
It was completed in Hanukkah, but they didn't take place
to
Rosh Chodesh
Nisan. Right, they pushed it up. Right. And that's why Hanukkah got repaid later on in the time of
the Bayit. It was during the first year, though. Was it one during that first year from Yom Kippur to Nisan?
Right. It was the second Nisan. Actually, they left in the first Nisan, if you count that as the first year, but you didn't. Right. And the next Nisan would be the beginning of their second year.
So that was the Nisan when the Mishkan was inaugurated.
Pardon me?
That was the Nisan, the anniversary of Yetzias
Mitzrayim, right.
Was their inauguration.
Right. Okay, let's take a look at another one. And we'll take one from Pekudei, and then we'll also do one for Parshas HaChodesh, which is this week as well.
I have to choose from the right side of the thing.
Here we go. New Rashi.
Give it a shot.
Let's take a look at page 232. This will be the left column. It's the right side of the center line, Hilly, but it's the left column. In the middle, the second paragraph. 232. Where it starts off, Uba Midrash. From Bekudei. Uba Midrash, Ish Amunas Rav Rachos. The Midrash was a man of Amuna and of great blessing, referring to Moshe Rabbeinu, I believe. Pirish, Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu Tovu Meiti. Hashem is good, and He constantly is bestowing good. Rotzeh LaHashpiya Kol Tov L'Kol Birya. And Hashem's will is to emanate good to all creation, to each creation. Blessed mitzad Hashem. However, ki im ein hamakabel ish ne'eman, if the recipient of the bracha is not trustworthy, v'yidei hakabolah, and after or through receiving this bracha, yochol lishkoach b'Hashem yisborach hamashpia kol tu. He then is able to forget Hashem, who was the one who provided him with this goodness. So he receives it, but then there's a forgetfulness in terms of its source. Nimsa kibo al yidei hakabola lechet. So therefore what we have is this situation, that through receiving a bracha, a person committed an avera. It's a strange state. We usually consider doing an avera that, you know, we have a mistake in what we're thinking, or we have a desire to do something, we do an avera. He says, you get a bracha, but by receiving it improperly and not recognizing it's from Hashem, the chait came through a bracha.
It's interesting, because if you really think of it, the energy that we have that we do averas with is given to us to do mitzvahs.
You mean the overall
life?
Yeah,
just any energy,
right.
You know, that we
right.
have.
Right.
And so it's sort of a living representation of this thing.
Yeah. Now there's actually a mimer a passage in the Talmud Devarah where he talks about the Ramak, that Hashem's life coming to a human being at all moments. Mm-hmm. And even as we receive that life, sometimes we take that very life and act against the mm-hmm. the giver of that life, which is what you're referring to. And that's, however, the distinction is, and the Sefer HaTanya talks about this a lot, is that if we use the life that Hashem gives us to do an Aveira, the essence of that life and energy at that moment is altered. Mm-hmm. And it comes down in a very circuitous, removed, distant fashion. Whereas if a person takes Hashem's life and uses it to do a mitzvah, then the vehicle is direct and it's straight. So even though it appears that we're always living and breathing and things seem to be constant, that's only physically. But spiritually, the essence of our life fluctuates depending on what we're doing. Vashem Yisborach, Kol Ma'asav Ve'emes Lihi Yos Tova Amitis. Hashem, however, his deeds in truth are that he wants a complete and full goodness to come out of what's happening. Shelo Yavo Lideche, that a person would not come to do an Aveira. Ah, B'nei Yisrael Hein Devukim Be'emuna, the Jewish people are devuk, we cling intrinsically to emuna, to a belief in God. V'ayidei HaKabbalah, through receiving Hashem's brachos, Hei Machni'in Atzman B'yoser, we become rather even more humble. U'mistavkim the shorish hamashpia, and we bring ourselves close to the source of the one who provides us with the blessing. Lachen hem yucholim mekabel habracha. Therefore, in truth, the Jewish people are able to receive a bracha, and he means to say to receive it in an ultimate fashion. That there is the possibility within B'nai Yisrael, in as part of our makeup, that when we receive a bracha, we can actually feel a sense of gratitude that brings us to humility, not a sense of ourselves as the great recipient of blessing. V'zehu ish emunos. This is the reference that the Midrash, ish emunos, kolomar shenimshach achar hashoresh. That this is a person who, as a result of what they receive, they are drawn after the source of the bracha. Ve'eino nofel tachas regel gaiva, and does not fall under the foot of arrogance and ego, which can happen when one receives improperly. Lachein al yidei b'nei Yisrael yesh rav brachos ba'olam. Therefore, it is through the Jewish people and this ability to receive a bracha and be drawn after its source that brachos come into the world. V'lachein v'shabbos kodesh, therefore on the Holy Shabbos, shekol habriya misbatelet l'hashoresh, that as we know, the entire creation is directed fully to its source, v'hu kli machzik bracha, and Shabbos is therefore the ultimate kli which can hold on to a bracha, because it's God directed in full. That's why it says in Bereshis, Hashem blessed the seventh day. Mm-hmm. And why dafka Yom Hashvi? Because the recognition of God is so dominant on the seventh day that that increases the ability to hold on to a bracha properly. Relevant lesson.
Is he implying then by that if you don't properly observe the Shabbos once again, he's sending a bracha into the world and you're turning it into a sin?
I mean, that's his whole premise at the beginning, that whatever we do with that bracha will determine if it's a complete bracha or not. And that puts the bracha really in the hands of the recipient to ultimately complete it. The bracha is not complete just by receiving it.
Although by the last statement he uses, though, he says, for he blessed the seventh day, to me that kind of implies that no matter what you do on this day...
Well, that's the intrinsic kedusha of Shabbos Kodesh.
Right.
There's something about Shabbos which is automatic in this respect.
Same issue in a certain sense of Eretz Yisrael. There's a certain kedusha that's inherent in the land, yet there's all these conditions which we have on us as to how how we succeed there or not, based on whether we take that brush and use it correctly or how we do the opposite.
Right. And actually, though, what you're saying is a good point, because sometimes the greater the Kedusha, the more conditions in order to use that Kedusha properly. That's one side, that's like in Kippur, where you have numerous restrictions. Whereas the other side is Purim that you were mentioning before, where the Kedusha is so powerful that it goes into the realm of non-restricted behavior. Which is a very difficult thing to do.
Yeah.
I was saying the other day that Yom Kippur, we know it's called Yom Kippurim, it's a day which is like Purim. So it's as if the Chachamim were saying that Purim is greater than Yom Kippur. And I think possibly the reason that's so is whenever you have a restriction in the Torah, the restriction aids us because it helps create the environment for the Kedusha. Right? The environment of Yom Kippur is very defined. And because it's defined, we're able much more easily to be in that state of Kedusha like Malachamayim Yom Kippur. The environment of Purim is very much undefined. You have no mitzvahs lo tasa. You don't have prohibitions which define on Purim. It's all mitzvahs esei. Through this Purim, Shloach Manos, Matanos Lavyonim, Kriyas HaMegillah. Now granted, there are a couple of lo tasa that come into that, as opposed to not being too crazy and hearing the Megillah properly. But it's all based on mitzvahs esei.
Let's think about that, this Purim, that is like the highest, the ultimate fulfillment of Purim is Kashrus Batal, you know, so I mean the theoretical question, or you know, all the various kinds of boundaries and things that we have.
Kashrus
Batal? Yeah, I was thinking that because Kashrus is that same separation, Taharsa Mishpacha.
Well, what do you mean by kashrus being?
I was sort of reflecting on sort of Purim, taking it to sort of the ultimate sort of expression of the idea of Purim, that you naturally you're in touch with the Kedusha in the Purim consciousness, so to speak. My question would be that's a shinui hateva, so to speak. We're lamala min hateva. It changes our basic fundamental nature.
Right.
So the kashrus, the laws of kashrus that we have are somewhat conditional on our nature and the nature of nature in itself. So, I'm not promoting this.
Yeah, that's how we don't go.
Yeah, and that it's just one of the examples of how far we don't go.
Right. Of course, those regular daily restrictions are there.
Right.
As a matter of fact, the chet of Purim was that we ate at the Suda of Afashur.
That's right.
So, we have to be careful.
Which was even a kosher Suda.
Right.
Right.
Yeah, a kosher Suda, but there was some improper things happening.
It was on the Kalim.
It was a Bezayan.
Who catered
it? Didn't have a stomach.
It's just a wonder, a thought. When Mashiach comes, I mean, even better. Do we have a Masara? I mean, we say that Yom Tovim will be, will be
Batal. The Not Purim,
right. So, what about other mitzvahs? Do we have any kind of a...
Not that I'm aware of. Mm-hmm. Not that I'm aware of. But it's an interesting question, because the mitzvahs that are associated with Ra, which is eliminated at the time of Mashiach,
right.
So what happens to them at that time?
Right, that's what happens.
No comment.
Well, you may know this acronym, right?
I guess Shabbos Sefodish is in the next Chalik, Yeah, let me read one out. Here's one right here. This will be everybody's Torah Shabbat, except for mine. Interesting. This is kind of it's somewhat mysterious, but it's, I think it's a tremendous idea here. This is on page 20, in the beginning of Vayikra, the right column in the middle. Isa, it is brought, Yisrael monim lelavana. The Jewish people count by the moon. Meaning to say, our luach, as we all know, our calendar is a lunar calendar. This is Parshas of Chodesh, where we talk about the mitzvah of Rosh Chodesh, which follows the moon, Chodesh Nisan. Vehu ha-me'or ha-katan, the moon is the small luminary. Between the sun and the moon is the smaller. Pirish, meaning, shekiviyachol tzimtzem ha-kadosh baruch hu ora. It's as if Hashem minimized, confined, his light, lihios yecholim b'nei Yisrael lahasig hasagas mashahu, in order for the Jewish people to comprehend something of it. This is the klal, it's a foundational idea that if Hashem had not confined his light and made it comprehensible, there would be no way a human being could grasp it. So the moon, which is a Me'or HaKotan, which means small light, he's saying it means light which has been made smaller for the purpose of being able to grasp it.
But even more so, it's not that just that a human being couldn't grasp it, it's that there wouldn't be a Bria.
Right.
Right, so there wouldn't be a human being.
The B'Midrash, HaYareach Eino Nivra L'Ho Irak L'Mo'adim. So the Midrash says the following. The moon was not created to give light, but it was created for Yom Tovim, to establish Yom Tov for the Jewish people. It was not created for light. Kamosher Kasu.
When we say Lehudim, I say Ora. Ora is a Torah.
Ora is a Torah.
Ora, which one was Yom Tov? Ora, the Simcha was Yom Tov. Right?
So somebody,
yeah,
Simcha was Yom Tov, right. That's right. Yareach Asa L'Mo'adim, we say in Baruchin Asher in Tehillim, that Hashem made the moon in order to make the Yom Tovim. Zeh Hasagas Hadas. And this statement here, I think, is difficult. This refers to the comprehension of knowledge. The moon, which builds or actually makes Yom Tov, and which represents the concept of Hashem's light being graspable. That's Hasagas Hadad. That's our comprehension of knowledge, somehow represented by the moon and tied into Yom Tov. V'zeh HaChodesh HaZeh Lachem. That's why it says, this month is Lachem. It's for you. And they say, Bishvilchem. Hashem is saying that this whole creation of the moon and the Yom Tovim and everything it symbolizes as far as light, it's Bishvilchem. This whole process of minimizing light is for you to be able to get it. The Isa, as it says, Kazer Re'e V'Kadesh, Hashem told Moshe Rabbeinu, when you see the moon like this, then sanctify the moon. So again, the idea is that Hashem is showing him, he's giving him something. When it looks like this, sanctify it. That's graspable. Imkein yecholim b'nei Yisroel l'rothu l'hasig zeh ha'ishachu shel ha'alavana. This shows that the Jewish people are able to grasp the renewal of the moon. And he said it's not only on the physical level that we perceive the moon in the sky and the Eidim come and they testify in its Rosh Chodesh. He says this applies on the spiritual and the comprehension level as well. That it's saying, you can grasp this. See the moon and you can grasp it. U'b'nei Yisroel zafu lezeh, b'yetzias Mitzrayim, the Jewish people merited this ability when we left Mitzrayim. Doesn't elaborate on that.
I guess if
you
got it, you know.
Something to think about.
Because we left Mitzrayim.
Well, that's all of our speculation. He does not give anything more than that. He's tight with this one, John.
He says this mysterious is the sign of the Das. The Das is, that's more than any other level of...
It's a very close knowledge, yes.
Like when we see the moon as it increases and decreases, there's an idea that if we could really see the moon as it increases and decreases, we'd be closer to the level of Das, understanding Das, than Vina or Hoff or anything else.
Yeah.
And we just look at it most of the time and say, Kaufman.
Yeah.
It makes sense in a way, because you see, since Ryan took place on a full moon, and actually the Misa took place at the same time of the experience of the moon in its fullness. So they integrated, perhaps, the Jews integrated the experience of the moon and the experience of their own Yitzhiya at the same time. And therefore the two were then related to each other.
That's a nice connection.
Yeah.
And also the fact that they were given the mitzvah, so that month of Nisan, beginning with the first slice of the moon, they were given that ability, and it actualized at the full moon when they left Mitzrayim.
Well, spiritually too, you know, that's the point at which the light is fullest, and it's going to begin to descend, to contract after that. And so the natural point, when in terms of expansion, after that is to lose it. And it's lachem, kodesh of the lachem, whether it goes up and whether it's expanding or whether it's contracting, to stay with it. So.